Tonight to honor our God and worship, and we thank you for being here, especially if you're visiting with us. We do have a number of visitors. Always great to see those who are interested in spiritual things and come out to enjoy our worship together. We hope that you'll be blessed by being in the assembly tonight and that God will bless you indeed for your love for Him. I have a question to ask you. This is one of those guess who I am things. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is all but impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments. I ruin marriages. I destroy careers. I cause heartache, sleepless nights. I wreck churches, and I separate Christians. I spawn suspicion, and I generate grief. I make innocent people cry, and even my name hisses. I am gossip. Pretty powerful thing, isn't it? Gossip is. Gossip is one of those sins that everybody knows is wrong, and yet few of us seem to know when we're guilty of it. It's one of those sins that if it had the stigma attached with it that a lot of other sins do, like fornication and murder and those kinds of things, we would be appalled at how frequent it is even among God's people. But because of its insidious nature, because it is the kind of sin that it is, and because Satan uses it the way that he does, it's almost something that has become acceptable. In a recent sermon about 6 weeks ago, we studied the importance of bridling our tongues. And yet there is one aspect of that issue that I believe is worth revisiting that we'd like to talk about tonight, and that is this issue of gossip. My goal here is not to particularly condemn any particular person or group of people, to make everybody feel guilty or anything like that at all. But my goal and my concern and our concern is to please God. Our lives as Christians are all about pleasing God. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 19 and verse 14, the psalmist pleads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Isn't that our desire as Christians? That the words of our mouths would be acceptable in the sight of God, that what we say would be pleasing to Him. In contrast to that, I want you to look over at Romans chapter 1 in a passage that we know about, but I don't know if we've ever made this contrast. Maybe many of us never have. The contrast between Psalm 19 and the desire to please God with the words of our mouth and those in Romans chapter 1 who have completely rejected God and refused to have Him even in their knowledge. In Romans 1 and verse 28, it says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, with sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and evil-mindedness. These are the things that characterize people who don't want to please God, who don't want God in their lives. And yes, I left off a few words there, and the next two words in that list of sins that people commit who don't want God in their lives, the next two words are whisperers and backbiters. And those sins, which we can equate with gossip, are every bit as grievous as everything else in that list in the mind of Almighty God. And they indicate a spirit that is precisely the opposite of the one in Psalm 19. The one that says, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. God, I recognize you for who you are. I want to please you in my life. And over here, there's somebody, I don't even want you in my life, and so I'm a gossiper. There's the contrast. And it couldn't be more stark, could it? From the one who pleases God and the one who cares not about God at all. Gossip is an insidious sin. It is subtle. It sneaks into our lives. We hear it and we don't even know we're hearing it. We say it and we don't even know we're saying it because we're not cautious, perhaps, enough. We fail to recognize it when we commit it. Many of us never even give a thought as to whether or not what we are saying might be gossip. When was the last time, seriously, think about it, when was the last time you stopped yourself and said, now I'm talking about somebody here, might this be gossip? How many times do we talk about others during a day? And how many times in the process of doing that do we stop and say to ourselves, could I be gossiping here? Just even asking ourselves the question. And my point is, we never even, well, not never even, but seldom ever consider that, do we? If we're to be honest with ourselves. Our culture approves of and encourages gossip at every turn. How many tabloid magazines in the checkout line at the grocery store, daytime talk shows and TV programs and radio talk shows are nothing but gossip. It's not only accepted, but encouraged at every level of our society. Seemingly innocent phrases maybe clue us in to wondering whether or not we're about to gossip. When we say things like, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see that link on Facebook to the story about so-and-so? You know, she said that he said. You won't believe what I heard. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I heard that and 100 other ways that we start sentences that lead us right into the sin of gossip. I'm not saying every time you say one of those things, you're gossiping. That's not the point. Sometimes you probably are. And are we even aware of the problem? So we're starting with two ideas here. I'm trying to get you to see the seriousness of gossip on the one hand, the difference between the one who gossips and the one who's trying to please God with his words. And then I'm trying to get you to see how hard it is for us in the culture in which we live, especially in the world in which we live, to even identify what gossip is and when we're doing it. So we have a really serious problem here, a really serious problem that is hard to identify. I think it's worth our time tonight to spend some time thinking about this problem of gossip and trying to help us understand what it is, how to avoid it, and how to do better in our words when it comes to pleasing God. So what is gossip anyway? I've been talking about it for about 8 minutes. What is it? Well, it's synonymous in the Bible with words or phrases like talebearing, whispering, backbiting, slander. These are words that are found in translations of the Bible that really are getting at what we say, what we mean today when we use the word gossip. The word gossip itself is found in some of the newer translations. It's found many times in some of the newer translations of the Bible, depending on which translation that you use. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, there's a word that's translated in one translation, whisperings, and one of the other translations has gossip in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. And that particular Greek word is used a couple of times in the New Testament. It is defined by Thayer as a whispering, secret slandering, the magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. I thought that was pretty interesting. The magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. That the Greeks would take that word, which referred to snake charming initially, and use it to describe what a person is doing when they're doing what we call gossip. They're charming snakes with the sound of their voice, getting people to do and behave in a certain way with these whisperings that they're uttering. And so you see something in that definition of the power of gossip. Gossip might be defined as casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. So you have the concept of trying to spread information which controls people's thoughts and attitudes. You might call that propaganda. And then you have this idea of telling stories that you may or may not know to be true, but you're just telling stories. That part also is an aspect of gossip. Gossip is unkind, it is unnecessary, and it is unprofitable. Those are other aspects of it. In Proverbs 10 and verse 18, it is said that whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. So there's an amount of falseness, if you will, in gossip. There's also this idea of trying to harm people in it. Now, there are times, of course, when the truth about others, however harsh, needs to be shared with third parties. There are actually a lot of times in this life when that has to happen. There's no question about that. And so I understand, and I think you understand, that just because something is said about somebody else doesn't necessarily qualify it as gossip. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but what's the purpose of what's being said? Are we trying to help someone? Are we trying to be helpful to the person that we're talking about? Or are we just spreading unsubstantiated news, facts that may or may not be, actually accurate, not facts at all? Are we trying to hurt somebody? Are we trying to impress somebody with something that we know that they don't know, but maybe they don't need to know? So there are a lot of different things that go into defining even what gossip is. Gossip is often aimed, though, at tearing down and hurting, and that is one of the key components of it. All of these things come together to form what the Bible describes as gossip. In Lamentations 3 and verse 62, the lips of my enemies and their whisperings against me all the day. So the whisperings there are against a person. They're aimed at a person. They're aimed to do something bad or negative to that person. Psalm 41 and verse 6, the psalmist talks about one who comes to see me and he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity in itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. So here's somebody who's gathering information, and his sole purpose for gathering information is not to help anybody out. It's not to understand the situation better, but it's so that he can go out and tell it and perhaps cause hurt to the person that he's telling it about. That's a pretty good definition of gossip right there in Psalm 41, 6 and 7. And you have a passage like Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He goes about as a talebearer and reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Gossip is often the revealing of a confidence, isn't it? Something that you were told that you're not supposed to repeat. Something that you were told by a person who trusts you, and you know when they told you that they didn't want that spread all over, but you spread it anyway. That also qualifies as gossip. And gossip, because of the nature of all of this, is going to stir up strife and conflict and ill feelings. Where there is no wood, the wise man says, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. A lot of times problems come up in congregations, and if everybody would just stop talking, the problem could be solved. But folks won't stop talking about where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So gossip, as was mentioned in the introduction, is something that can ruin a congregation, can ruin a family, can ruin an organization or a business. From a fleshly standpoint, gossip is pleasurable. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body, Proverbs 26:22. So, whether we admit it or not, and we might as well admit it, there is this interest in, this almost fascination with, hearing things about others. If there weren't, the tabloids wouldn't sell. The talk shows wouldn't get any sponsors. That's why we have talk shows and grocery store tabloids. The Proverbs tell us that gossip is this tasty morsel. We like it. We savor it. It tastes good to us. Gossip is like a hot fudge sundae made with your favorite ice cream. It's like peach cobbler with real whipped cream. It's like steak and lobster. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet with a dessert bar. Is anybody salivating right now? That's what gossip does. Makes us salivate. And we want it. But it's not good for us. And it's the exact opposite of what God wants us to have and what God wants us to do. One of the things that I hope I can convey in this lesson tonight is the depth of the sin that we call gossip. And maybe we've already been able to do that to some extent, but I want you to think about what James says in James chapter 3 and verse 6 about the origin of sins of the tongue in general. James says in this passage that the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And that tells you something of its destructive power. It defiles the whole body. That's what a, you know, if you will, big sin, destructive sin that it is. But look at the rest of that verse. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. The flames of hell ignite gossip. I've read that passage for a long time, and I just want to tell you that I think until recently I didn't understand it. Because I thought it was saying that the devil is responsible for sins of the tongue like gossip. I don't think that's what that's saying. Think about what hell is. Hell isn't a place controlled by the devil. I mean, I know it is in all the cartoons, but in real life, hell is not a place controlled by the devil. It's not the devil's home. It will be where he resides through eternity, but it's a place of punishment created by God for the devil. The devil's not in control of hell. It's not the place from which emanate, you know, all of his evil plots. That's a worldly idea. That's not biblical at all. We understand that, right? So when this says that the sins of the tongue are set on fire by hell, what's it really saying? What is hell? Without doing a whole lesson on hell, which has been done and can be done again, but without doing a whole lesson, let's just say this. In eternity, hell is where God isn't. The whole thing about being in hell is that you are not going to be where God is. You're in outer darkness, far away from His light. Let's get back to what's the origin of gossip. It comes from the absence of God in your life. Comes from hell. That's the seriousness of the sin. That's the reality of what we're doing when we engage in it. Do you see it? I hope that you do. It comes from an evil and a hateful heart. No matter how benign we perceive it to be, no matter how accepted it is in our society, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if your mouth is speaking gossip, your mouth is not speaking from a heart that has God in it. And that's how serious it is. Gossip is cultivated by idleness. Paul warns young widows in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 that they'll learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. You've heard idle hands to be the devil's workshop. I think they must also make the tongue his playground. How can we avoid this horrendous, insidious sin? How can we recognize it even? Let's think about that. To avoid gossip, evaluate your speech. When talking about others, always ask yourself. Now, I said a few minutes ago, I think most of us rarely ask ourselves this, but we must, anytime we're starting to say something about somebody, always ask yourself, is this gossip? Is this something that's defined in Scripture, something I ought not to be saying? And to answer that question, ask some further questions. Am I concerned about helping the person or the situation that I'm talking about? Am I saying this because I want to help somebody or something? Or am I just talking? And if you're just talking, stop. Don't say it. Is this person that I'm talking about being lifted up or torn down by what I'm saying? Would I be comfortable if this person were to walk in on this conversation right now? Would I stop talking? An old Chinese proverb says, speak only well of people and you will never need to whisper. We're saying what we're supposed to be saying. Most all of the time, at least, we won't mind that person hearing it. Evaluate your speech. Before speaking, ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Those are those three gates that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. You remember verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4? Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So the first gate is it true? And then look at verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Really, the second gate is it necessary? Do I need to say this? And then verse 32, be kind to one another. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If you're speaking words that aren't true, necessary, or kind, you're violating these commands in Ephesians 4. Paul says, speak the truth. Paul says, make it necessary. Paul says, be kind. That couldn't be any plainer. We need to ask ourselves these questions while and before we're speaking. And if you can't say something good about someone, especially a Christian, surely, don't say anything. In Romans chapter 12, we're to, you know, sort of try to beat one another to the punch in giving honor to one another. I think is the import of Romans 12:10. If this isn't going to honor somebody, it's not going to be good, don't say it. Keep private matters private. If something's told to you in confidence, it's told to you in confidence. It's a matter of trust. There are very basic principles that we live by, like doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. If you told somebody something in confidence, you wouldn't want them to take that somewhere else. And there may be exceptions to that. I realize if somebody's threatening to take their life or, you know, there's imminent danger of some other kind, but those exceptions are surely rare. The talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Which are you? The talebearer, or the one who is of a faithful spirit? That's Proverbs 11:13. And then, as you evaluate your speech, watch out for places and situations where gossip will be a likely temptation, where it might happen. It might be a group of friends that sits around the lunch table every day and doesn't do anything but talk about others. That's not a good situation to be in. And whether it's at the family dinner table or at work or at school, maybe it's a group after church that might stand around the auditorium and talk about others, might go out to eat together and talk about others. Always like to remember the guy in East Texas when I first was preaching out there, and he was preaching in a congregation not far away. His name was Chuck Durham, and he always liked to say that, you know, that the members there, they'd go home after services on Sunday and They wouldn't eat steak or roast beef. They'd have ground chuck. His name was Chuck. So they like to, you know, talk about the preacher. But those are situations that can lend to temptation. Avoid gossip. Avoid gossip by examining your speech. And help others. Stop gossipers from gossiping. To prevent somebody else from gossiping, ask the gossip if he's talked to that person that he's talking about. Now, I have preached, and probably will again, whole lessons on this point. I've got one verse up here. We could probably add a dozen at least. But there's a scriptural principle that if you have an issue with somebody, you take it to that person. If someone sins against you, Jesus says, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you, you go and be reconciled with your brother. Over and over and over again, the responsibility, if you have a problem with somebody or somebody has a problem with you, your obligation is to go and talk to them face to face first. That does not mean take it to the elders, take it to the preacher, ask your mommy and daddy about it or whatever. If you have something with somebody, you take it to them first. I can't be any plainer, and the scriptures can't be any plainer. And anything else is not what God wants you to do. And the sad reality is, in our lives, do you find this to be true? Somebody comes to you with something and they've got this problem they want to ask your advice about, and the problem is about somebody else. And if you stop them and ask, well, have you talked to them about it? about 99 times out of 100, what's the answer? No. No, I haven't talked to them. Shame on us. God, in His infinite wisdom, has revealed to us how to handle interpersonal problems when we've got issues with people. And universally, the first step is to talk to that person. Somebody comes to you and starts talking about somebody else. The first thing you need to ask is, have you talked to that person about it? And if they haven't, tell them to go talk to them. Get mad about it. You say, what do you mean by that, get mad about it? Well, if you look at Proverbs 25 and verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. And I'm not sure what all the wise man had in mind there. I know that when somebody finds out that they've been being talked about, they usually get mad. But when we find out that someone is talking about others, it ought not to bring a smiling countenance. We ought not to smile and eat it up as they're telling us about this other person's problems. We ought to have a frown on our face and say, you know what? I don't want to be listening to this. And maybe that's what wise man is telling us in Proverbs as well. Refuse to believe that which is not verified. In Proverbs 26 and verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. Again, how much plainer could anything be? If you can't verify it as a fact, don't believe it just because somebody, don't believe it even if you read it in the newspaper. Somebody says, well, I read in the newspaper such and such happened. We've had instances right here since I've been at Eastside where things have been written in the newspaper about various members that were not true. And I can tell you that over the years, I've been interviewed in a number of different situations by newspaper people. And I stand before you tonight to say I can't remember a single solitary time where they got it all right. Verify the facts. If the newspaper doesn't get it right, surely you got to understand the internet might not get it right. The person on Facebook might not have it right. The person who's whispering in your ear surely may not have it right. We need to be critical thinkers and not accept everything just because it's been said or written. Avoid the person who gossips. He who gossips goes about as a talebearer and reveal secrets. Don't associate with the one that flatters with his lips. And so in these things, hopefully tonight, we've seen some seriousness to this problem, this sin. We've seen, hopefully, some ways to go about avoiding it, recognizing it, and stopping it. And as we close tonight, let me just admonish you again to take the problem of gossip seriously. Please do not take this lesson tonight and say, as you leave the building, I really know someone that applies to. Please, let's all look at ourselves. We're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we speak. Man will give an account in the day of judgment. The Lord says in Psalm 101 and verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. That's some more promise. May we, like the psalmist, beg the Lord, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. It might be tonight that talking to somebody who's recognized that you've had a problem with your tongue, said things about others, to others, that shouldn't have been said, and maybe you wish you could take them back. Of course, once that gossip gets out, you can't hardly take it back. But you can repent of the sin, and you can ask forgiveness, and you can ask the people involved to forgive you. Maybe tonight we're talking to someone who's made other errors and blunders with their tongues, and that's not uncommon. The tongue is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Maybe you need to confess that tonight and ask for forgiveness from God. But maybe the problem's more fundamental than that. And maybe it's something along the lines of, you know what, I just haven't been interested in pleasing God in my life. And that's not what my life has been about. And maybe as we talked earlier about the huge contrast between the person who wants to please God and the person who's rejected God, maybe you recognize yourself as that person who's been rejecting God. Don't live like that anymore. Hell is that eternal place where God is not. And you don't want to be there. Come into His presence. Ask Him into your life. Obey the gospel tonight. All be still.